Welcome back to Extension 720 here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, the story of Derrick Rose is a familiar one for Chicago sports fans. Kid grew up in Inglewood, won state championships at Simeon High School, played a year down at Memphis only to come out, be the Bulls' number one pick, win Rookie of the Year, then the MVP, all the while putting Bulls basketball back on the map. Everybody knows this story.
Derrick has been very committed to his teammates, to this organization, and to his hometown of Chicago. Thus, we're extremely excited to announce today that Derrick has agreed to a maximum length 5-year contract extension with the Chicago Bulls.
I don't think about money like that. If anything, I will not say contract. I think about family, like my family good, making sure they are right. And I'm not talking about the ones that's living now. I'm talking about generations. I want to be so far down the line that all my family members don't even understand where all of it came from. Where it's like, what happened? Like, some hooping dude got it for me. That's how I want it to be. So that's one of my goals.
I think I can finally say this now. Mom, we finally made it.
And, of course, we know the story after that with D. Rose and his myriad injuries, including an ACL tear. And he watched the city turn on him. Fans questioned his heart. The Bulls eventually traded the hometown hero to New York, of all places. The story is arguably one of the most tragic in Chicago sports history. It's a dramatic story, one that feels that could be written by Shakespeare, not played out on the hardwood at the United Center. The story is the focal point of the new documentary called Pooh, the Derrick Rose story. It's a film that was originally put together by a production company hired by Derrick Rose and BJ Armstrong back in 2015. But soon after, Rose was traded, it was put on the back burner, until veteran sports producer and director Scott Diener and Stadium came in. They resurrected the project, added more interviews and footage to tell the complete story of this controversial MVP. You can stream the documentary at watchstadium.com. Scott Diener in studio with me tonight. Scott, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
God, I love the film. This episode is about, Extension 720, is about, we're kind of doing makeups and breakups. And I can't think of a story that is more about the breakup of a Chicago sports hero and Chicago sports fans.
Yeah, and the thing that I felt most strongly about coming into all of this is I'm not from Chicago, so I didn't have a biased lens one way or the other on how Derrick should be treated when it comes to his career with the Bulls and just the way he carried himself as a figure in the city. So I was able to sit there and really learn from doing these interviews, talking with Derrick, talking with his family, and just talking with people on the street, really. Just, what do you think about this guy? And you really come to learn just how different he was perceived, whether you're on one side of the street or the other.
It's amazing. Such a polarizing figure. And it's touched upon in the film. You talk about race and segregation plays a big role, but also just the expectations and the different narratives that came out. I am a longtime Chicago sports fan. I have an opinion on this, of course, like everybody else at the time. Watching the film, I thought I knew the story. What I came out of was I might need to question the narratives that were fed to me. And that might be from the media, that might be from the Chicago Bulls, that might be from Derrick himself.
Truly at the core of this film is everything you didn't know about Derrick Rose. It's one thing to, one of my favorite scenes in the film is obviously his MVP season.
Yeah.
And just the incredible highlights. And you forget almost that, like his abilities and being able to dunk over LeBron and Greg Oden and these guys. But at the core of the film, it really is about how difficult it was for Derrick to not only just survive Inglewood, but to become an NBA star and then throw everything on top of that, that he has to do it in his hometown.
Hmm.
And the sheer pressure that he was under day in and day out, it was inconceivable. And the way he carried himself and he learned how to speak to the media and he was so candid and honest all the time. Like, he never held
almost
anything
to a fault.
It
got him in trouble a couple times.
And partly is that when he was saying those things at the time, not even when the injury started, but just the idea of just he was so open because that's just who he was. And no one really knew that at the time because he never talked about his upbringing. He never talked about, you know, the circumstances that he had as a child in Inglewood and the poverty and the desperation of survival.
The film gets into that and it talks about his family, his mom and his brothers, his older brothers, and really how basketball was less about a sport and more about survival. There's some unbelievable shots and the ability to speak to the family. everybody in Chicago feels like they know the story of this kid coming from a poor neighborhood, and then he gets to be the star on the hard court at the United Center, be the MVP. Everyone knows that story. But to see what he overcame at such a young age, when you're talking about 13 people living in a small house and drugs and gangs and shootings and all the things that you think you know and you don't.
And how could you? It's not something that you have conversations about every day, and you talk to people about, hey, what was your experience like that? Mm-hmm. And, you know, with Derek, he's a very genuine person, but he's very reserved because he just doesn't trust a lot of people because of his experiences growing up and just seeing whether or not he was going to be taken advantage of by a coach on the AAU circuit.
Right.
And then you saw in the film, Reggie and his old coach talk about how they had to move him.
They had to create a whole new team
that
they created because they were so concerned about the vultures when he was in grade school, really.
Yeah, and he's not the only one. But the reality is that he's going through the motions of just trying to play basketball, trying to figure out a way to get his family out of Englewood. That's his complete drive. His only mindset is, how do I play at a level that gets my family out of this situation? Mm-hmm. Anything else was just a distraction to him.
The film obviously goes into the number one pick, goes into the Rookie of the Year, the MVP. What I find most interesting is talking with his family. And you get this idea that because of the things you just talked about, the vultures that were on the sideline, his family really rallied around to protect Derek. He was the youngest boy of four boys. And it almost held over. You saw this, and there's a love-hate affair with or a love-hate relationship with the Rose family and Chicago sports fans, because when Derek was going through a lot of his injuries, Reggie was talking on his behalf. But when you see this film, you get a better understanding of why that is. That's what they've been doing their entire lives.
Yeah. Again, that's where I think it's really important to not just have this original viewpoint of everything you experienced when he was injured and Reggie was the only one that was talking. There was a reason those were the circumstances. There was a reason he was being protected by that close family. And whether it was Reggie or BJ, those guys understood Derek's mindset more than anyone else. Mm-hmm. And one thing I think is really important too, that I found was probably the most extraordinary figure of this whole film, is Brenda.
Derek Rose's mother, yeah.
Derek Rose's mother. She, the lengths that she went to protect Derek, to make sure he got to school, to make sure he was just fed, kept him on that track to hopefully, not like anyone knew he was going to be NBA MVP at 22. It was just the idea that we're going to give him every opportunity we possibly can. She is just an extraordinary figure. And for her to be in the background while all this negativity is being tossed at Derek, and to continue to motivate him and support him. You think about Derek's circle, and it's so tightly knitted that he doesn't want to open up to all these other people. Not intentionally, it's just he doesn't necessarily know how to all the time.
Scott Diener's my guest. He's the producer and director of the film Pooh, the Derek Rose Story, which you can stream the documentary at watchstadium.com. This film has got a lot of attention because there's before seen footage of the moment when Derek Rose is traded. He's being interviewed and he's emotional about it. There's a reason it got picked up by the media. I think not everybody gets a chance to see that kind of thing from athletes, from our heroes and forums, to see how he reacted to something that we think is benign as being traded from one team to another. Was pretty insightful. Other things as well. You saw a lot of emotion from Derek Rose, whether it's when he's talking about his family, his upbringing, talking about the weight and the pressure of both being an MVP, but also the Adidas contract. There's a lot in there that you see an emotional athlete.
Yeah, it wasn't like we set out to say, you know, Derek, cry now. It was a point in his life where he realized everything had been built up so internally that it was just all going to come out at once now. And the purity of it is that it is all centered around his love and affection for the city of Chicago more than anything else. You know, you start with the trade scenario. He obviously wanted to play his entire career here, mm-hmm. right? He never had any intentions that he was going to demand a trade and it reflects back to when he didn't want to recruit, you know, LeBron and Carmelo. And I don't think that was ever the case. It's just that he cared about his teammates so much that he wasn't going to actively be out there trying to bring in a high-priced free agent. And again, that speaks to something that maybe wasn't explored as much at that time.
Scott, one of the great things about this is really the epicenter of the controversy has to do with the injuries, of course, and the ACL tear that he missed the season on. And it kind of brought up a lot of watching it, like your stomach turned a little bit as a fan because you forgot about all of the detail that went into the Adidas commercial that showed the city wanting him to come back. He was lifting weights. Remember that? The whole city was stopped. The Bulls and the doctor saying he was medically cleared to play, but he wasn't on the court. Him warming up before the playoff games, but then showing up in a suit. All of the media chatter and the narrative that Derrick Rose should be ready, but he's not. What's wrong with him? There was all of that in this film, and that's and the, to bring us back to that moment, it almost makes me feel that Derrick Rose and his camp was a little bit ill-equipped for the modern-day media surge. You control and you protect your own narrative. He didn't step forward. Others wrote it for him.
I don't know that he did it intentionally. I'm sure there were some motives, whether it was BJ, you know, the Bulls. Like, everyone had what they felt like was Derrick's best interests in mind. And there were certainly a lot of boxes to check when you talked about what happened in the moments right after the injury, how Joakim Noah reacted to it when he found out about it, which was, to me, one of the most...
He's great in the film.
Yeah. One of the things with Joakim as well, in talking with him and when the interview was over, he actually told me this was really a therapeutic experience because none of those guys had ever really sat down and talked about just the impact of that time, not only on the court, but what it meant just off the court and being able to support Derrick with all that negativity that was flying around. But again, when you go back to that season, even with talking with Tibbs, it's just, it was so hard because they knew they were so close.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they were right there on the cusp of winning a championship. And when you know there's a chance, just that sheer chance that he could be back on the court, of course everyone's going to say, why aren't you playing? I really tried to get to the bottom of it. Like, you obviously were healthy enough to be on the court warming up and practice. What was it that kept you back from being on the court? And I know even Sam Smith alludes to it, the high intensity of coming back and playing in the playoffs and that inch of doubt in your mind, it's going to ruin you.
They're almost, if you think about the storylines, and I think Cap brings this up well in the film, that could have played out so much differently. That could have been the Chicago Bulls saying, you know what, Derrick Rose is out for the year. He is done. He is not back until 2012, 13, whatever it was. Don't even talk about it. He's going to be warming up, doing stuff, but not unlike we see with the stars of today. They're going to take a year off, and they'll be back next year. You saw that with Joel Embiid a couple of times, right? But the Bulls didn't do that. Instead, there was this, they let it fester. Everyone let it fester, and it created this chaos that there's a possibility our favorite athlete, our hometown hero, is going to ride in on a horse and beat LeBron James and Dwayne Wade, and he's going to do it on one leg and all this kind of thing. And when it didn't happen, we felt dejected. We felt disappointed. And that, I don't know if that was fair.
It really just depends on what side of the camp you were on. Obviously, as a hardcore Bulls fan, you're wanting your best player on the court. You know you're right there with the ability to not only win the East, but to really win a championship. And it was so unfortunate that they didn't have the right PR. They didn't have the right people just saying actively, this is where he is today. This is where you expect him to be next week. It was just more or less, and there's a part in the film as well, you're going off of, well, Adrian Peterson,
right,
who plays in the NFL,
he came back like record speed time off an ACL.
And that's football. So, and I think Sylvie says it, like, how do you not get back on the basketball court with that same injury? But at the same time, again, it's just, yes, hindsight 2020, they go back, they're obviously going to handle it differently. I'm sure they learned a lot from it. At least you hope they learned a lot from it. I can't speak from experience and how they're handling their PR now. But the thing is that they know they made mistakes. They know they disrupted what would have been this ideal utopic season. But at the end of the day, his health, first and foremost, was everything. And they had to take it as slowly as possible and make sure, because you were thinking 10 years down the road, like, he's still going to be there. Obviously, you wish he played that season.
And I want to represent the side of the Chicago sports fan who gave up on Derrick Rose. It wasn't necessarily just about the fact that he got hurt often. Like, he had the two very unfortunate knee injuries back-to-back season to season. It wasn't even necessarily about the idea that he didn't come back that season. There became an error to Derrick Rose that was played out in the media, but it also in some of the things he said, and like you said, he was candid. where it did feel like he had a chip on his shoulder, that he was against the Chicago Bulls. He was against the Bulls fans. There was a vibe that he was not necessarily bought in as much as we were, and it was time to move on. And I think that that's a real thing. And I know it's easy to paint people who hated Derrick Rose. They just didn't give the kid a shot. And, you know, they were just fans and it's me kind of thing. But there was this vibe that it wasn't reciprocated, that Derrick Rose didn't want to be here.
I think it was easy to fall into that camp, certainly. In talking with him and some of the other guys, it didn't help, obviously, that he signed that long-term extension. And people are just continually seeing in the media, look at these numbers. Look what he just signed for. Look at this Adidas deal. How are you not playing? But again, it goes back to the heart of it, that you don't realize what he's going through internally, that he's trying to not only support his family now, but he's thinking generations down the line, that he wants to make sure his family, 3, 4, 5 generations, like, never has to go through anything close to what he had to go through. So he's thinking about that. Did he say things the wrong way? Did he not say things that he should have said? Absolutely. It's easy to misinterpret something where he says, I'm thinking about long-term. I'm thinking about walking on my son's graduation. It's easy to misinterpret that.
Yeah, absolutely.
But at the same time, talking to Pax and Joakim, it's like, we knew what he meant, right? As an athlete, you know what he means. Now, do you wish he said it differently? 100%. But you have to always go back to that. The way Derek was raised, the way he was brought up, the experiences that he had, that's just the way he is. And he's not going to change for anyone else.
You know, this is a project that was initiated by B.J. Armstrong and Derrick Rose. This was a project that they wanted to tell their side of the story. I love it as a sports fan watching it. It's unbelievably shot, top-notch, everyone from Paxson to Joakim Noah to Chance the Rapper being interviewed. But the people will say, oh, that's just a propaganda film. That's Derrick Rose just wanting to get his story out. That's the real story.
It's fair to assume that because their names are on it as executive producers, but what nobody would know is that the original film that they put together had next to nothing that was in this final version. We're talking about the media that was critical of him, talking about, like, you know, Pax and what it was like at that time, putting the trial sequence in there. All of those things that when we looked at the original film and we felt like there was this missing piece, there was this link that wasn't there. And ultimately, it was this just divisiveness of the one side of Chicago versus the other side. And so we really needed to explore all of that. And if there is this racial tension between South Side and North Side fans and the way people look at Derek on and off the court, yes, it's easy to assume it was propaganda. But at the same time, we added so much to eliminate, hopefully, those assumptions in the long run.
This is a breakup makeup show. Is there a way that Derrick Rose is a free agent and the story ends with him in 50 points in Minnesota last year and having a resurgence for his career? You know, he's a free agent. It seems like Chicago has mended in its ways. Do you see a future in which Derrick Rose could be a Chicago Bull again?
Not only the 50-point game, but coming here the day after Christmas and them chanting MVP.
And he's smiling at the free throw. That's a great shot.
And of course, you know, as a reporter, you have to ask him, hey, what do you think about this and that? And we talked a little bit off camera and talking to BJ. Obviously, there's still a love for the city. From a basketball perspective, to me, it makes total sense. But I'm not the GM, so I'm not going to sit there and say this is what you need to do. But as a person, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't he want to come back to mend fences, to really be a veteran leader that the team needs to help groom some of these younger guys and just repair these fractures that have just been splintered for the last, you know, 5-10 years? I mean, it seems too perfect, so you don't want to sit there and just say it's definitely going to happen, but I really do feel like there is a real chance of it happening.
Well, it'd be a great epilogue to this story. Scott Diener is my guest. He's the producer-director of the film Pooh, the Derrick Rose Story. You can watch the documentary at watchstadium.com. Scott, thanks so much for coming in, talking about the film, and congratulations on the success.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.